I'm going to go over a few announcements tonight. Let's see. Y'all know all the things. All right. And we've talked about all the things. What a blessing it is. I don't think I mentioned this morning about our window coverings. We've decided we're just going to go open holes. No. We had a blind lady come in. All right. So some of the jokes aren't that funny, but they just catch them wrong, right? Or catch it right, maybe. So we had a lady come in, and she showed us some blinds. We picked out one we really, really liked and thought, this is great. And of all the other ones, we didn't. And so she said, well, okay. And she came back and said, you know, they don't make those in blinds. They only make them in shades or something like that, but the shades look kind of wonky. It wasn't really something we wanted here. So she said, I'm going to find somebody to make them. They came back and said, we got somebody that'll make them. Found them, it'd be $850 a piece. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It'll take the, and I didn't even reply to her. She said, or we could gift you vertical blinds for $250 a piece. I didn't reply to her. Yeah, that's a little bit. So we were thinking we kind of needed somewhere to start from, so we went over to Lowe's. My wife and I went there week before last, before we went off to camp. I think it was Saturday before we went, and happened to see they were having a special for leveler blinds, the top of the line ones, 50% off. So we have this like twice a year, and I said, well, I really need the one we seen one that we thought would be a good choice for in here. And it's a little bit of a design, not quite like the other one, but at least a little bit of a design. We want to kind of have something that's a little bit. But the only one they had in there was this kind of bluish one, and we seen one that was kind of more of a neutral kind of color. And I said, hey, can we see that one in your books? She said, we don't have it. It's too new. They don't have it in our book, after we looked all over for it. And she said, but you can order a sample from the place. And so I checked it out to order a sample from the place. I ordered it that night. We still haven't got it yet. So that's how long it takes. And I said, well, we want to get this deal. What do we need? She said, if you will order, or if you will schedule the measurement, they charge us for the measurement. It's like $45 for the measurement to come out. I said, if you'll schedule that, we can lock in the price for you. I said, schedule it. And she said, oh, the measurement's half price too. So we paid $22 for that. And so came back. We did all the numbers on that. The top of the line one they have that has, you know, pull down, no strings, all this kind of thing. And what's that? It's fabric. And got all this thing. It ends up being about $250, $300, somewhere around there. So it's the cheap. It's as cheap as the bottom of the line they were going to give us. So we're excited about that. That's a much better situation. So instead of doing curtains and the blinds, we'll just be able to do kind of a decorated fabric blind. So we're excited about that. So we're not going to be like this forever. Amen. And so it'll cut down on the echoey and kind of, this place is kind of empty, right? It's going to fill up. Amen. So thankful for that. Hopefully we'll get there. They're coming Thursday to come and measure, and then we'll get that, and we'll be able to go in, and hopefully we can get that that sample will come by before that. And and so we're looking forward to that. We're glad to have, from the street, that our property goes all the way back now. It looks like we didn't really move that. I mean, we did move. It was a big plate. It was a big mound. We had to dig up a lot of, I could do it. But there was a lot of stuff there. But when you look back now, it's like the property just, all the properties come together. So excited about that. And Brother Ed's got some grass starting to, got some hay and some, we're going to get some grass back there. We're going to get some out here. We're trying to maybe try to get a little more level before we put the grass down, so it's not going to be like this for a long time. But anyhow, excited about that and some of the other things. We still got a couple things we got to do. We got the sign up. We got to get a little landscaping around. It's required by the city. So we're going to get that going here maybe the next couple weeks, kind of get figured what we're going to do there. We're going to find out this week. We're going to have Katie go down there and find out exactly what we have to have. They said it has to have something, so I don't want to do it and then say, well, that's not enough. And so we're going to get that figured out. And so a lot of things. We're going to notice here sometimes, too, we're going to be getting a double check valve on our water supply, which is required by the city. As soon as we got some of this stuff done, they said, oh, we pulled a permit, so now you have to do that. So it's going to be it's probably going to be about a 3-foot structure coming out where it's at now, but that's going to be coming here. They gave us 30 days, which are expired, but I think it was it was an empty threat. We'll see. Working on trying to get we had somebody come. Our plumber that's done some other work here is going to give us a quote. But anyhow, that's kind of some of the things. Excited about that. Excited about being on the end of some of these things. And so now we can get to some other things of just serving. You know, we need a work day. We need a work day too. We're going to be moving the shed back there, back where our pump is, and so we can have it back there with some of the things. And so we're going to have a work day. We need to put some pillars and some things in for the men to get out there and dig, unless we have some ladies who want to come out and dig. Sure, welcome that. Like, yeah, all right. Joy will. She likes to. But anyway, we'll do that. We'll have a work day. Maybe at that time we'll do something inside too. We'll coming up here probably in the next few weeks, within the month, maybe next few weeks, not this Saturday. I want to read a card to you that came from a family that came to VBS. It said, "Dear Heritage Baptist Church, thank you for taking your time to play with us." Thank you. Thank you for taking time to play and for teaching us about God. Thank you for everything you have done, and most of all, your love. Sincerely, Amelia. And then the letter from the family said, "Thank you for serving and encouraging our family. We really enjoyed everything you prepared and presented. Kindly accept." And they gave a donation to that and said, "Use it for that," and so forth. And this is from the other young lady. She said, this is the same family. She said, "Dear Heritage Baptist Church, thank you for letting us attend your VBS. We really enjoyed everything you put together for us. I especially like the way you decorated the church. I am looking forward to seeing you again soon. I've made a lot of new friends at VBS. Thank you for the carnival and the prizes. I'm glad you liked my cookies. Happy 4th of July." That's Aaliyah. And so I just thought it was sweet. I want to share that. That was some good kids that are write a card, and they're coming this week, possibly to at least look at the school. We'll see what that's going to be. So excited about that. What's going on? Well, it's come that time of the night to do missionary quiz. So let's see. What is Hilversum known as? Somebody, did anybody look up that answer? You got it. You got it. The Media City. Come on, if you get your prize. All right. There you go. Oh, wait, no, that's wrong. Wow, we're almost done. When this box of chocolates are done, then we're just going to be working for knowledge. Okay, here's the other question. The other one, this one doesn't win a prize, but it does win some clout that you read the letter. Okay? In June, Brother Eric had a baptism service for how many people? Quick hand. How many people got baptized? It was in the letter. It was 3. Good job, buddy. Good job. Did he know that or did somebody tell him? You knew it? Good job. Good job. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad for that. That's good. So we're going to get back to knowing our missionaries. Amen. And so praise the Lord. Their next letter already came in too. I got it back there. So we got, Brother John's got some catching up to do. All right, we might have to do a couple letters here in a couple weeks. Well, before we get to our last song, we're going to look at camp. And so I want you to see a couple things here. We're going to look at the camp. We're going to see this little video here. And then we'll turn that one off. Let's go ahead. Get the volume on that mic, please.
Jesus, my Lord, suffered for. What team?
Crossroad Baptist Camp. Right under second place.
It's
the yellow team.
Won the Spirit Award for being, well, Hayden, right? And his team that he was on ended up winning the competition. So it was between games and verses and all that. And so, as you see, next year, I did tell Hayden, I gave him a task. I said, for next year, you got to recruit somebody. No, not somebody, a bunch of people, right? And what that would mean is you'd have to share the screen time next year. All right. Well, Hayden, come on up here and give us a testimony. Why don't you come tell folks about camp and so forth.
Hi, yes, got a little taller now. Well, camp was very fun. You know, I met a lot of good friends, but the most important part was I grew more in Christ. There was a lot of really good lessons, and I wasn't really used to getting up at 7 in the morning, but we don't talk about that. It was a routine, you know. It was something good to get into. But I feel like I really grew in Christ. I feel like I got to learn more about Him and learned more principles. I think that's the word you would use. But yeah, I also learned a lot of new friends. Wow. My words are not wording today. I met a lot of friends, and but yeah, I've won the Spirit Award, which is when you were like really good at games, or not really good, like really supportive and energetic and all that stuff about the games. And you know me, I'm always like that. But yeah, go yellow team, the SpongeBob team. Which I don't know why we didn't name it the SpongeBob team. We named it the Yellow Buses. You know, we're taking them back to school because that's what they need. But, yeah, it was just really fun. It was a really good way to grow in Christ. Wow. Really good way to grow in Christ. And I'm excited to see how those four boys do over there because it's going to be way more chaotic for them. But, yeah, it was just really good, and I really enjoyed it.
Amen. Well, only three get to go, but I couldn't handle four. Yeah, it was a great occasion. And Hayden did well both in the with having a good time. He his friend made a lot of friends, but not only that, he. I really believe he took serious the things that were said there, and it was a great occasion. And so, look forward to seeing God work in his life as a result of that really long week. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen, amen. And then, y'all pray for us. We're leaving in the morning, 9 o'clock. You boys ready? Okay. No, that was good. That was a good answer because we're going to see what they come back with. Yeah, they're a little bit like, ugh. I'd probably be all right. You know, it'd probably be good. It's going to be a time. We're looking forward to it. And y'all pray for us that it would be not, obviously it's going to be fun, right? But pray that it would be life-changing in some of the things. You meet friends and you meet folks and hear the Word of God. Brother Kerry Nance, I really didn't know him that well. I've known him for many years, but not really well. But I'll tell you, this week I really got to know him and his preaching and where he's come. And I just really appreciated him. And his youth pastor, Josh, are the ones that will be doing most of the preaching this week. And so I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen there. Well, let's turn our hymnals one more time to number 66. Number 66. At Calvary. Let's all stand together, if you would, with me. Number 66.
Ye
years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's love, then I trembled at the law I spurned. Still my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Know the love that drew salvation's plan. Know the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did spend at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Mark. Book of Mark in chapter 12. Mark in chapter 12. There we go. All right. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 13. Get started tonight. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would bless tonight and as we go into your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to bring out a truth here that would encourage us, it would exhort us, direct us. Lord, I pray for each one here that's in attendance tonight. Lord, I pray that you would you'd bless. Would you encourage, and Lord, would you guide us? And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, You Get What You Come For. You Get What You Come For. All right? Number one is this. You will get what you come for. So you're starting with your title as the first point? Yeah, it's just, I'm not really that original. Sorry. So the Pharisees did not come to Jesus to receive truth. Amen? We see that? Y'all with me? Right? They didn't come to Jesus to receive truth. Their purpose was to find a way to trap Jesus in His words. Right? And this is, it says there in verse 13, they to catch Him in His words. What kind of person thinks they can trick Jesus into making some verbal mistake. Right? I mean, what kind of person is it that thinks, I'm going to go in the battle of wits against the master? What they call it, master, you know, and so forth. Can I tell you who would do this? Because I want to tell you, we still have people doing this today. If we'll be real honest, sometimes the people doing that today are us. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. Not on this one. We'll get to that in a minute. But what kind of person thinks they can trick Jesus into making some mistake or we could find some way around him? It's really this, someone that does not seek truth. Right? How do I know if I'm seeking truth? Well, I accept truth's answer, right? Notice, though, how they went about it, okay? He started, the Pharisees and Herodians, they started by making, by giving a fake, empty, flattering compliment, right? You see that in verse 14. He says, Master, we know that thou art true. Right, he said Jesus was true, and he said he's not a respecter of persons, but teaches God's way truthfully. Wow, I mean, what bold-faced liars, right? And I say that, how many times though have we done the same thing in the same things though in this way? You know, saying how good, watch this, how good, how perfect, and how right the truth is. But then flat out refuse to follow it. No, folks, listen, I'm telling you, if we're gonna give them grief, and we ought to, right? Because Jesus does. If we're gonna give them grief, we ought to also look into ourselves and say, you know what? Sometimes we come and say, God is so good, we trust him. I'm gonna take all my burdens to him except for the ones I'm not. Right? We can get ourselves in this kind of thing that says, I want the truth, and then when we get the truth, we flat out refuse it. So are you just as guilty of trying to trap Jesus in his words by finding a way around the truth, the clear truth of Scripture? What I mean by that is, are we as guilty of doing that? Is that we come to his word looking for a way to do what we want to do. Right? We'll use it. Well, the Bible says, and we'll find a way to get the Bible to agree with us. You ever done that? You ever look for something? I mean, you're like, well, I'm not very good at it. You ever look for something or try to find a way, at least you know somebody else that did, right? Yeah, I know more of them that did it than me. Right, we'll kind of do that kind of thing and look for some way to get around the truth of Scripture. But I want us to see what the Pharisees came for. Look at the end of verse 14 again. They say this. They ask this question: Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? In verse 15, they says, "Shall we give or shall we not give?" So here's the question: Do we give or not give? That's what they wanted answered, so that they could trap Jesus in his words. I don't know if you've ran into somebody like this that wants to challenge you. They're looking to trap you in some kind of way that you kind of just go in the circle. And they'll ask you this, and then they're like, so what about this? And then it becomes this kind of game. They want to know, do we give or do we not give? That's what they want. Have you ever sought out the truth to give excuse to do what you already wanted to do? We call it, there's a word for that we use, we call it, in a phrase we used to say, to justify our behavior. So I'm looking for the Word of God. We can go into the Word of God and find something that justifies me doing what I already want to do. It's kind of in the sense of it Pharisaical, of trying to find this thing. But here's the thing tonight is this, the Lord doesn't get deceived by our ridiculousness. Amen. Also, the Lord doesn't say, oh, they got me. What am I going to do? Right? Now, we know about the time when they asked about John the Baptist. Who was he? Was he of God? Was the authority of God or of man? That's what Jesus asked him. So they said, you know, by what authority, you know, and they said, let me ask you about John. Was this authority of God or man? They said, oh, that's a good one. Because if we say of God, they'll be like, why didn't you follow? If we say it's a man, or if we say it's a man, the people are going to go against us because they think he was of God. And they're like, that's a good, you got us. So they like this game, right? It's a battle of wits. It's not a battle of faith. So, by the way, I don't want to, let me rephrase it. It's not a searching for truth. It's not trying to see, it's a battle of how can I win? It's a battle of wits. Do we give or do we not give? So the Lord doesn't get caught in this. Look at verse 15 again. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Yeah, I think it's why, like, what's wrong with y'all? What? I don't know the why, but anyways, why'd he tempt you, me? He says this, bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they, what's that word? Marveled at him. Oh, wow, marveled. It's to be wowed. It's to be, what they marveled at, watch this folks, was not the awesome message they just received, because they didn't receive the message. They marveled that the Lord just outwitted them. Oh, man, that's good. Okay, you got us. This was their game. You got us. Okay, all right, we'll come back. Can you always see them saying like this? We don't fight, but it's kind of saying like, okay, we'll come and play again. Right? And they do this. We find throughout the Scripture. They come again and again. There comes a point where they said, and the Pharisees no more came unto Jesus. There's a time that they did that. They got, I want to say this, and this is kind of what we're starting with this thing, is this. They got what they came for. A debate of the Scriptures. Not any real answers. What a waste. What a waste of time and of life to not ever really seek the truth, but come for a little battle of the wits or look for how we can kind of trap people. I'm telling you, folks, we are in a day and age this is becoming popular again. Maybe it always has been. It's becoming like maybe a little more public, and they got these debates and they got all this stuff. And they want to try to try. And it's just all about trying. It's not about trying to find answers. I personally think Christian debates are foolish. It's my personal opinion. I think they're foolish. They get into it. Nobody gets convinced. Nobody sits there. Well, I was an atheist and I heard that debate and I just decided I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. There might be people that's ever happened. Probably it was a pin on the top of that haystack or a needle on top of that haystack. Probably for the most part, nobody sits there and say, I'm really coming to find out about this, because we're a bit handicapped when it comes to a debate. We're bound by truth. And we're also bound by the truth that says we don't lie. Whereas the other side, they're bound by nothing. Full deceit, right? Lie. You get somebody that debate over evolution. Okay? We're bound by what God says. They're bound by what they can make up, right? So I think for the most part, debates. I don't recommend getting into debates or this kind of thing. I catch myself sometimes. Somebody will start with you, and you're going, and all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I'm. And then I'll just say, hey, you know, we try to get out of this thing. I do. That's my thing. But they got what they came for. Just this little debate. No real answer. But number two is this. Point number two, show me the money. That's what he said. Show me, bring me a penny. All right. So I want to say the second part, show me the money, part two. Turn over to Matthew chapter 17. You say, Pastor, you had too much time to think of funny things. I don't know. It's just the Lord leads sometimes and it's fun. Okay. Matthew chapter 17. Did I say that? Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17, verse 20. And when they were come to Capernaum, 17:24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth your master pay tribute? So we find this again, kind of this another group of people, and it's a little bit hard to understand from this exactly who this is. We could assume it's the same type of deal with the Pharisees, but the word here, tribute, here is specifically a certain type of money. It's actually a different tax. It's a different application of the tax. This is here. It's a tax that's used for the upkeep of the temple, and it's a type. And I don't remember the Greek word that's there. It's die something. It means to this, whatever. It doesn't even matter to us. But the point is, it's a phrase that was used about talking about the temple tax, if they would call it, to use for the upkeep of the temple. When we get back to the book of Nehemiah, it's coming right up in the book of Nehemiah. We actually looked at it last week. They actually talked about this and committing. I think it's a third part of a shekel. At that time, it was a third part of the shekel. It was what they had committed this tax, a tribute to this thing. And at this point, it was a half a shekel because, you know, inflation, right? And so we're going to see that in Nehemiah. But look again at verse 25. So let me go back. Look back 24. And they ask the question, doth not your master pay tribute? Verse 25. And we're talking about Peter. Peter saith, yes. So, Peter understood. Peter understood without hesitation, yes. Doth not your master pay tribute? Yes, he does. Of course he does. So, Peter understood that Jesus did pay this tax because all Jews would pay this tax. It's what Jews did. I don't necessarily want to say it was law, but it was a commitment that they'd had, and we find that again. We'll look back there in a couple weeks, and when we get back to Nehemiah, we'll see there that they made a commitment to do this, to upkeep the temple. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to. It's not the tithe. Don't misunderstand that with the tithe. This was about upkeeping the facilities, and also there was also things that were, you know, that we talked. Remember that, if you remember that last week, certain ones were to bring the wood. Y'all remember that from last week? I mean, I remember it, but I studied it. Anyway, so, you know, like I heard it one time. Anyway, so there was this kind of thing. But Peter understood this. Of course Jesus does. But Jesus is different. He's not like all the other guys, right? He's not like all the other guys. He's different. So the Lord takes this opportunity to make sure Peter understood something. Look again, verse 25. And he saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. Right. Matter of fact, Jesus caught him before he got a chance to say anything else. Don't you wish Jesus would do that for us more often? Right? You want to go say something? Hey, I just want it. The Lord said, well, let me stop you right there. Okay? There's times that after I've done that, I don't know if you do that as much as I do, but you walk away and you're thinking, that didn't come out like I didn't think about it. That came out exactly like I didn't want it to. And you're walking away. And I don't know if you do this, but I do this. I think of like 8 different ways I could have said that. Right? I think, man, I should have said this. You know what? Doesn't matter because it's over. Can I go re-say that? No, you can't. But Jesus, sometimes, thankfully, praise the Lord, more often now I'm catching the Lord doing that more. He stops me before I say something. I need him to do more than that. I need him to stop my face from showing what I want to say. Right? God, can you just help me? And I try. And I've already said it with my countenance. Right? And so, thankfully, the Lord stops us. And this is what happened. He prevented him. And now, look here. He says this. He's saying, Jesus says to him, what thinkest thou, Simon? He's asking him, I want you to think about this. How do you think this works? He says, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? So here's what Jesus is asking. How does tribute work? Now, we're not talking about just tribute of the temple here and but there's these kind of things. He's asking this question, who is taxed? Is it customary for a king to require taxes of his family or of strangers? Right, that's what he says. Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom? Or of their own children or of strangers? In verse 26, Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free.
Well, Peter's like, well, of course, the strangers are who's charged. You don't charge taxes of your own family to theirs. So it's, yeah. Jesus says, then are the children free. Meaning, they don't pay the tax. So our message tonight is about taxes. Pay your tax. No, it's not about that. We're going to get to this. The Lord's about to give a clear answer here. When I say clear, clear doesn't mean clear like you think it means clear. Clear means a little different clear than you think. Y'all with me? How are you with me? I'm not even with me. Okay? Clear, when I'm saying Jesus is going to give a clear answer, he's going to give a focused answer. He's going to clear this up for us. Look at verse 27. Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. See, didn't that clear it up? All right, I'm going to help you now. I'm going to help us with this. Peter, here's what he's saying. We may not owe them a thing. Children are free. I'm the Son of God. God the Son. But that's not what dictates our decisions. The Pharisees wanted to know, does Jesus give tribute to Caesar or not, right? Back there in Mark, we've seen. They wanted to know, does Jesus give tribute or not? Those that received tribute for the temple also wanted to know if Jesus paid tribute money, right? So, they want to know, where does he stand with this thing? Now, we know the Pharisees wanted to kind of trap him so that they could have accusation against Caesar. He doesn't honor Caesar is what they want to do. Of course, those at the temple also wanted to find out, is he going to go against the temple law, right? And how is he going to stand on this thing? This was not a decision of whether he should or shouldn't. Listen to what I'm saying to you. This is we're going to get to really what I'm talking about tonight. This isn't a message, or rather a decision about whether he should or shouldn't give tribute, whether he was supposed to or not, whether he rejected the authority of the Roman government or the temple use of the money. It wasn't about that at all. Jesus was moved by not offending the people who he wanted to reach. Okay. Jesus' decisions were not moved by his rights. They were moved by his ministry. What's important? What was the thing there? It's less about rights and more about opportunity. Lest we should offend them, he says. We like rights, don't we? I mean, we got a whole bill of them, right? The Bill of Rights. What's my right to do and what's not my right to do? We like rights, and I like them too. We like rights, and amen. Thank God for America, right? But what value is there for the believer to uphold our rights or our privilege only to lose our opportunity? What has more value to you? I don't have to do that. Okay? There's a lot of things we don't have to do, isn't there? I'm talking about in Christ, even. There's a lot of things we don't have to do. I've said this many times. The New Testament isn't really about a list of laws. It's not really about a list of rules, not about a list of regulations, not about a list of what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. Now, there are some of those things in there. But it's more of a list of how I'm going to relate to Jesus Christ. And so, it's not about what I have a right to do or what I'm supposed to do. It's about what has more value to me. It brings us to point number three. What do you really want to get from the Lord? Just ruminate for a minute. What do you really want to get from the Lord? The Pharisees wanted to get an opportunity to win. They wanted to be right. Do you like being right? You like being right? Being right is pretty awesome, isn't it? I like to be right. I like to win every argument I ever get into. Why? Because winning is better than losing. Right? Who wants to be? I'm trying to go out today and lose. Right? We talked about running a marathon. We said, we talk about this in the men's Sunday school. What are you going to do when you run a marathon? You want to win? No, most people don't want to win, because to win, you got to be a freakishly fast runner to win a marathon, and weird. Most people want to just finish, right? But finishing, but that's the win. You know, the Pharisees, they just wanted to win an argument, and they never did with Jesus. They thought they won when he was on the cross, but they lost that too. Is that what you're doing? Rather, what I was saying, is that what we're doing when we spend our time trying to find out how right we are? In other words, what I'm saying is, when they were getting into the debate with Jesus, they had come with their ideas of what they were wanting to do and what they were wanting to accomplish. All they wanted to do is win, to be right. When you come to the Lord's house, you come and to discipleship, you come, are you trying to find out how right you already are? Are we trying to find out what the Lord has for us? Because that really affects how we receive something, doesn't it? Really, it affects. And listen, by the way, I don't think we need to always find out that we're wrong. That's not what this is about. But it is sometimes this thing of I'm already going to find out why I don't agree with it. So I'm not sure, but that Peter made some assumptions about what was right when he was asked if Jesus paid tribute. I'm not sure that kind of seems, I'm not sure there's not enough information there to see, but it kind of seems like Peter was like, yes, you know, like, yeah, of course he does. And maybe he's seen Jesus given before, so maybe he was answering from that place. I'll give that. Maybe he's watching. Of course he does. You know, yes, he does. You know what I want from the Lord? I want to know what he would do. I want to know what he would do so that I can do what he does. That's what I want to do. Now, do I ever get me in the way? Too often. But you know what I really want? It's just my desire. I want to know from the Word of God, what does Jesus do so that I can do what he does? That's the goal. I cannot think of a sweeter spot in life than to imitate the Master. Right? So, is it right or wrong to give tribute? I want to raise hands, but I don't want to do that. So, I'm going to don't do that. Is it right or wrong to give tribute? Well, here's the thing. That's not even the point. The Lord's answer begins with, lest we should offend them. Listen, folks, the Word of God, truth, will offend, right? Right. Blessed are they that are offended because of the gospel. When we receive that rebuke, listen, people are going to be offended because of the Word of God, because the Word of God tells them that their sin is wrong before a holy and righteous God. Why would we spend the rest of our life finding other things to offend the world with as well? Okay, what I mean by that is, we kind of, not only the Word of God offends people, but we're going to find some other things. We're going to find some things that also offend the world because we want them to be, I don't know. I don't know why do we do that? If I knew it, we'd be better at it. And so we get this spirit about us. Sometimes we'll do this. I marvel at how we will get bent, just get ourselves in a knot on what is important to us, then claim it is important to him, then offend those that he wants them to know him. So in other words, I'm saying, we can get so focused on something that we think is so important that we actually offend the people that we're supposed to be reaching. And what we can do is say, this is important to Jesus. There are some things like that. Can I say the things like that are very clear? Amen? The things like that are very clear. If I've got to obscure some scripture, right? If I got to kind of twist it, I've got to kind of move some things and say, well, you know, over here, what it really means is kind of mix it up a little bit. I'm telling you, folks, we can get ourselves into a mess and we find ourselves being focusing on something and making it what's important to the Lord, and we end up offending the very people He wants us to reach for Him. This thing is, I like to use this phrase, it's a nothing burger. Like, what's a nothing burger? It's a burger we eat that there's nothing in it. I don't even know what it means. It's a phrase. It's nothing. Look at verse 27 again. Let's look at verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast in the hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. And that take and give unto them for me and thee. Here's what he says. Go down the Indian River, right? Go on over there to Indian River and take your pole and cast your hook out there. You're going to catch a fish. No, it doesn't matter the size of it. You're going to get a fish on that hook. And he says, go ahead, pull it in. And when you do, open its mouth, take the hook out. Right in there, there's going to be a piece of money. Same spot. Take that money, give it to those that receive tribute, and it's going to be enough for both of us. That's what Jesus said. Can you kind of see Peter? I don't know, but I just kind of imagine Peter. If y'all know Peter, we know Peter a little bit. And maybe it's not Peter, maybe it's us in these kind of situations. We say, but wait, Lord, which bank should I stand on to cast my pole? Which is the one I really should stand on? Watch this. It doesn't matter, right? That's not the important or even the significant part. Well, Lord, but okay, then is there a certain bait or a lure that I should use? Right? Can you kind of see this? Okay, I don't know if you get it. It doesn't matter. Can you imagine the Lord said, I don't think this conversation, but if the conversation like that took place, could you see the Lord saying, just throw an empty hook out there, right? Well, Peter said, but what kind of fish should I be trying to catch? You see the problem with this, folks? This is kind of, we're like this. We want to figure it all out. This is what we like to do. We like to get so focused on the details that we miss the main thing right in front of us that the Lord wants it to be about. You know, the Lord had already had at this point someone. God had already had someone at some point in history drop a coin that would make its way into the sea. I don't know. Maybe they were walking. There's a hole in their pocket. Maybe they're walking, counting, and one fell and it hit sand. It didn't hear it fall and it made its way and it. You know, whatever, a bird picked it. I don't know how, you know. Maybe they're out in a boat and it fell off the side. I don't know how it got there. He had a fish lined up. The Lord had a fish lined up, ready to unearth said coin. How long was that coin out there? Listen, I don't know. Listen, right at the very moment that Peter would get on over there, finally, and drop his hook in the water, just then that fish would grab that coin in his mouth. Then he would swim on over to the hook and grab another bite. Boom. There's our tribute. Well, is that good stewardship? Should we really use that coin to give the tribute? Seriously, this is kind of how we are sometimes. And we get this thing. How long do you think the coin was in that water? I mean, did Jesus miraculously make it appear in his fish's mouth? I mean, wait, no, you say, no, now listen, Pastor, don't you think it could have just been just recently dropped and it was floating down or something like that? Can I just say this? It doesn't matter. You know what matters right here? The Lord already has a plan worked out to cover the details. How are we going to make this work? This is ridiculous. Is it not? I mean, isn't this ridiculous? This is a ridiculous story. It's nigh on to unbelievable. If it wasn't in the Bible, I'd say, yeah, somebody made that up. Do we give, yeah, you know, hey, did your master give tribute? Yeah, of course he gives tribute. And he goes, and then can you kind of see Peter going in like, I think he does. Master? Nope. Here's what I want you to do. Is what you're going to do. Do they give? And he asks to say, who's to give? And we're free, but listen, it's lest we offend him. Go do this thing. Okay. Do y'all remember what Peter did for a living before he got saved? Okay, he probably cut up a lot of fish. I'm sure he got coins popping out all the time. Right? You ever got any money out of a fish? Anybody ever caught fish? You ever got money out of a fish? I mean, I got some lures. I mean, some hooks maybe, but you're not going to get that. But the Lord already has this all worked out. He's got all the details covered. Folks, can I say this? I know this is a little scary. This is scary. This is the scary part for us. Being out of control, right? Out of understanding, out of the information. That could be unsettling. How is all this going to work? Are we trying to figure it out? But can I say this? He created the earth. Created the sea. He created the fish. And I'm saying, well, he can handle it. Here's our conclusion. Oh, man. What are you looking for in this life? If all you want is to get through it, listen, if all you want to do is get through this life, you're going to get it. If all you want to do is just get through this life, I just want to keep my head down. I don't really want to. I know there's some things that God would want me to do and how I could serve Him, but I just kind of want to make it, you know? That's what you're going to get. You get what you come for. But if you'll seek, if you'll come to find out what Jesus is doing, you're going to get in on what He's doing. Here's the challenge for us tonight. Look at what Jesus is doing. Seek. Look for what Jesus is doing and get on board with Him. Folks, I'm telling you, can I say this? Most other people around you know what you're seeking. They know what you're seeking by your life. Whatever is distracting you from getting on board with the Lord, it's time to start removing those things. It's like we talked about this morning. Take it from us. Put it off from us. Revival almost always takes putting away of some things. Right? What is distracting you from living like Him right now? Let's stand. Father, I pray that You would take these passages and this truth tonight. And Lord, we can so often get bogged down with the details, and yet, Lord, You've got such a singular purpose for us. Lord, I pray that You would stir our hearts. And Lord, we need revival in America. But Lord, more than that, closer than that, Lord, we need revival in Brevard County. Lord, we need revival right here in Titusville, and maybe in our families. Certainly, right here in our church, Lord, we need to have Your power upon us. And
Lord, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to make some decisions, and some of them are going to be hard. And Lord, I realize that, and it's going to take a little pain, some of the things, if we have to, the withdrawals of the things that get in our way are tough. And Lord, I'm asking you to help us with that tonight. And Lord, maybe you would speak to some hearts, and maybe you've already spoken to some hearts about those things that right now, maybe you've convicted about the things that are distracting us right now. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and way. Maybe tonight we would just ask you and say, Lord, I want to find out what it is that you're doing so that I can do what you're doing. But I pray that you take this time, moving hearts. Listen, maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight. If he has spoken to your heart, take the opportunity to come to the invitation. Come even now.